Good morning, Alex. I'd like really like you to tell the people about your career up to date, how you started in football and how you where you played and how you've come to be where you are today.
Well, I started with every other boy at, with the dreams of, as a kid, playing in the back courts in Glasgow, Govan shipbuilding area of Glasgow. And I was encouraged and by my father, who was tremendous and pushing my brother and I towards a sporting inclination, particularly from our area, it was always going to be football. And I went through the various grades, played from the Life Boys, which was known then as, you know, the Junior Boys Brigade as it's known now. Played for my primary team, played for my boys' club team from when I was 9 years of age, Hamden Row Boys Club. And I progressed into secondary school, Govan Secondary High School, and started getting recognition at schoolboy level from playing for Glasgow Schoolboys. I then made a change from Hamden Row Boys Club to a famous amateur boys' club at the time called Drumchapel Amateurs. Who produced many great players, particularly in your area of England, Bobby Hope, Asa Hartford, players who travel come down from the west side of Glasgow, from the Dumbarton area, Clydebank area, to play for West Bromwich Albion. And I made the decision to go to Queen's Park as an amateur at 16 years of age, and that was in the advice of my father too, and felt that was the proper route for me. It also fitted in nicely with the fact that my father did insist I should have an apprenticeship. So I started my apprenticeship as a toolmaker in Glasgow. Yes. I started off with a firm who was a Coventry-based firm, actually, called Wickman's Wimmet. And after a year, they had a redundancy situation. So I moved on to another company, an American company called Remington Rand, who used to make typewriters and shavers. They're well known, really, at the time. And they still are well known. And I served my apprenticeship there as a toolmaker. And this allowed me to play the football on a part-time basis. I then turned professional as a part-time professional with St Johnson, and at that point in my life I felt that as I got older into 19 years of age, and I was coming to near the completion of my apprenticeship at 21, you're at a crossroads really in your life. You know, I felt that my commitment as a footballer wasn't what it should be, because I wasn't full time when other players in my team were full time. And I knew it was important to complete my apprenticeship as a toolmaker because it was a good trade at that particular time in engineering. So yeah, I was sort of a betwixt and between in my life. I became quite an active trade unionist. I became a shop steward in the tool room, and in fact led apprentices in the great famous apprentices strike in 1961, I think it was. And that was a bit of a great adventure really for young apprentices to throughout Britain to go and strike for better pay. And it's actual fact the Remington Rand apprentices were better paid than most apprentices in our area, but it was done on the principle that in support of other less well-off apprentices in the west of Scotland in particular. And that was a period in your life where it's fresh. My father was a trade unionist, probably took a lot from my father in the sense of his perspective of life. But it was a period in which I said to myself, yeah, what was the real objective, what was your real beliefs? At that time, my real beliefs were probably supporting colleagues who were less well off, because I had my part-time wage really as a footballer.
Did most footballers do that?
No, not really. There were quite a few at that particular time in Scotland. There was the start of a decline in full-time clubs, certainly, you know, that the old first division of 19 teams or 18 teams, I think, 18 or 19 teams, no, 19 teams there was, they're all full-time in some capacity. But they started to decline, in other words, that there was teams like Raith Rovers who were starting to go semi-full-time, semi-part-time, teams of St Johnstone, semi-full-time, semi-part-time.
So what would be the average age of a footballer going into football at that time as professional, full-time professional?
Average age?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that, like, most players, they would join the ground staff at say, 15 years of age, in some cases, and then turn professional at 17. Rangers in particular, at that time, and Aberdeen and Celtic, all the big clubs operated on that basis. Other clubs maybe not as resourceful as these big clubs, probably had a full-time operation, but maybe starting players around about 18 years of age, say. But in the 60s, the early 60s, there was started a decline of full-time pros in Scotland. I had a notion at one point around about that time to emigrate to Canada. To continue my tool making career, and there was semi-pro football in Canada anyway, but tool making in Canada was very well paid at that in the early 60s, very well paid.
It was a very big industry, wasn't it?
Yes, of course. And quite a lot of the toolmakers from Remington Rand emigrated to Canada at that time. In fact, I got a letter from one of them just last year, because he sends you a letter and doesn't put his address on it, you know.
Does he put the stamp on
it? Yeah. But, your life can change by just one dramatic moment in your life, one instance that changes the whole shape of it.
And in those few years, had you changed areas? I mean,
No. I always lived in Glasgow.
Always
lived in Govan at that time, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a big thing as well, isn't it? To up your roots and just move on somewhere if you're young.
Yeah, well, I travelled every two nights a week for most of the time at St Johnstone to the training and playing the Saturday or for midweek matches or something like that. And a lot of the times you're jumping on that last train from Perth, going out of Perth at night time, right, on a Tuesday, Thursday
that's
night. Pardon?
Perth
North. It's the start of the Highlands, really.
Yeah.
The start of the north of Scotland. And it's 60-odd miles from Glasgow. So you're jumping on that last train, the Aberdeen-London train, and I used to get into Perth about 10 o'clock at night and get into Coalbridge, go through Coalbridge, and I got off at Coalbridge about 12 o'clock and get a bus, the last bus into Glasgow.
At night.
And you're getting home maybe after 1 o'clock and you're up at 7 o'clock to go to your work.
Yeah.
You know? So it was hard. It was really difficult. And as I was approaching the end of my apprenticeship, you know, it was starting to, you know, it was hard going, you know? So I did train with local senior clubs in the Glasgow area for the last year or so of my apprenticeship. But as I say, there's an instance in your life, and everyone gets it, they hit a crossroads, or a break comes away, or something dramatic happens that changes the whole shape in your life. I'd broke my nose and my cheekbone and my eyebrow. It was a terrible clash of heads I had in a reserve game. With St Johnstone on the early October of 1963, and it kept me out of football for about 2 months. I had a complete plaster around my face and nose, cheekbones and that, for 6 weeks, and it was a mess. And when I came back, I played a couple of reserve games for St Johnstone, which were lost badly. And in the third reserve game, I was so down, and then I was feeling a bit of a cold all that week. I phoned up on the Friday. I got my brother's girlfriend to phone from our office to say I had a cold and I couldn't play the next day for the reserves. When I got home, we didn't have any baths in the house or any showers or anything like that. We just had a toilet and that was it. I used to go to the public baths for a steam bath on a Friday night. I maybe used to meet my mates there and we'd have a steam bath and have a chat about what's going on in the week, what we're going to do the weekend, blah, blah, blah. What games were they going to watch or whatever, whoever Rangers playing, and because they're all Rangers
fans.
Were you
a Rangers supporter?
Yeah. So, now when I got home, I could sense that the mood in the house, my father had one of these looks on me, I mean.
You could tell when you walked
through
the door.
Yeah. I was either going to be shot or thrown out.
You're like, what have I done now?
My mother's giving me one of these looks, what have you done? She's scared to open her mouth. So it transpired that the manager had been on. I sent a telegram and how dare I call off so late on a Friday. I was playing the first team the next day. And so I was to call him and I went along the phone box about 200 yards from the house. Called the manager and says, I've got 6 players down with flu. I said, well, I'm same, suffering the same thing as... He says, you're playing tomorrow and report. And it was against Rangers the next day and I scored a hat-trick.
Oh, brilliant.
Did you believe that? I had Rangers
in my
cupboard.
You had a quick recovery overnight, or what was the secret?
Well, I just had to play. That was his sort of order. And I had Rangers in my cupboard. You know, my fixed odds. So there's your breaking life, and from that moment on, things changed.
It's got that little push that you need.
Well, not necessarily that, because I was a natural, I had a natural enthusiasm about my football anyway. Mm-hmm. But what it did, it gave me a certain projection at that time.